let's take it to our host and special guest, the man who gave our host a special brain buster as part of our intro here to the show, Spencer Love and God's Gift to Wrestling, Micah Richard Blaze.
Welcome to God's Gift to Facebook Live. No, not talking about myself. No, not talking about the show specifically, but talking about my guest this week, Michael Richard Blaze. Man, it's great to have you on. We get to talk every so often as far as the podcast goes, as far as pro wrestling goes. But first time we've ever tried this, but an innovator such as yourself getting to try something new with me. Always appreciated, man. How you doing? How are you keeping sane?
Well, to be completely honest with you, I'm one of those lucky guys that my real life job, I'm still doing it from home. Yeah. So that's keeping me a little busy, and I went nuts and bought a bunch of weightlifting equipment. So I work out about like 4.5 hours a day now and just try a lot of really weird lifts.
Well, at least you got that going for you. Now, obviously, anybody who's been paying attention to the Alberta indie scene for the last little bit, the WCSN, if they weren't familiar with it prior, just give a bit of a brief background on who God's Gift to Wrestling is and what you do right now.
God's Gift to Wrestling, Michael Richard Blaze, is the best professional wrestler in Alberta, in Western Canada, in North America, in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God's Gift to Wrestling, Michael Richard Blaze, is. The actual truth of the matter is what I am is a dude that just loves professional wrestling more than anything else. I like to think I work my ass off and give 110%. Every single time I get a chance to perform and in between the shows as well. And I've been lucky enough to do this for like a really pretty long time considering my age. It's been like 16 years now. And I've been trained by a lot of like really cool people, like my main trainer. For anybody that does know, I'll remind you, is TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd. I've also learned from like Dr. Tom Pritchard, Harley Race, bunch of guys. I've been very lucky, and this is just, I'm a professional wrestler's professional wrestler. That's what I am.
You couldn't have put it any better, my friend. Now, not only are you a professional wrestler's professional wrestler, but you are a professional wrestler's trainer. You've done so for Force Pro Wrestling over the last little bit. Now, heading over to the Top Talent Wrestling Academy, of course, when it ostensibly opens. How have you enjoyed the training experience? Because over about the last year and a half, couple of years that we've gotten to know each other, you've really taken on an increased role as far as that goes. So just how you got into it and what you love about it.
Man, so like what I try to explain to people when they ask me about the training thing and like why I got into it and why I do it, I was so fortunate, me and Brandon Van Danielson, to have TJ decide, like, he, like, full disclosure, I'm pretty sure when he trained us, he never got paid. Like, we paid for our training, but I don't think he ever got paid to train us. And he just did it because he saw something in us and he wanted to give back to us and just give back to the industry as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that, like, always stuck with me. And yeah. I always say that, like, TJ probably, like, made me the man I am today just as much as he did the wrestler I am today. So a big part of it was, like, I know I've been lucky enough to train with people that a lot of others around here have. And I know I've been lucky enough to have experiences that a lot of others haven't. So if I can pay that forward to anybody that truly, truly wants it, I'm going to do that no matter how I have to do it. Force gave me the opportunity to do it. Force was awesome. They gave me the opportunity to do that training school, and now Top Talent is giving me the opportunity to continue it. Really, I just want to pay forward anything I can to people that show the same passion that I think I have.
110%, man. Now, obviously, things changed. TJ working for the WWE, now yourself a busy guy as is. But how much do you guys communicate in, like, not a training role, obviously, but in sort of a mentor role? Or how much do you get to sort of still pick his brain for advice and really still learn from him?
Dude, like, if I'm being, like, completely honest with you, like, I talk to TJ every day. Okay. At some point, I talk to TJ, like, every day, whether it's, like, asking him wrestling questions, whether it's asking him life questions. Sometimes we're just, like, shooting the shit about workouts, honestly. Like, we'll rant to each other about how much we squatted that day for a goddamn hour. Like, we'll just talk shit. It's fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, he's my mentor, like, through and through. Like, every day I talk to him at some point.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that he sort of took you under his wing and Brandon Van Danielson under his wing. Now, who are some individuals in Alberta? I know you've spoken about a few of them in the past. I'm not asking you anything new here, but maybe some underrated individuals or maybe people who do get attention, but you just see a lot of potential in just the Alberta scene right now.
So if I had to tell you some of the people, the top one, honestly, no word of a lie, would be Zoe Zager.
Okay.
It's like pretty much the top of the list, I think, because like she's, I see a lot of her at her age as there was in myself, where like she eats, sleeps, and breathes wrestling right now and is like clearly obsessed with it and wants to do everything she possibly can and wrestle as much as she possibly can. And she's one of the only people, actually, I'll give you like the three right now. Zoe Sager, Taryn from Accounting, and Gigi Ray are the three people that have like actually reached out to me during this whole thing and been still asking wrestling questions, still wanting to find ways to progress, still wanting to find ways to improve. Mm-hmm. They deserve like all the attention in the world for that.
Yeah.
Jack Pride is another one who I don't think gets near enough credit as he deserves. And like, I think for at different points, he's been given like good credit and like he's been put over strong, but like he should be talked about in the same echelon as honestly, like I get talked about.
Okay.
Like he should be talked about in a spot where it's like, you wouldn't be surprised to see him get signed one day.
Yeah.
And, yep. Like, he should be getting those same big indie opportunities that I try to get and I've been lucky to get, stuff like that. And then, like, yeah, honestly, those off the top of my head right now are, like, the four I would really say.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, you can quote me on this if you want. Like, one day, like, Zoe's going to be in WWE. Like, she's going to get signed at some point. So, like,
don't disagree with you at all, man. Now, you mentioned, like, you see a lot in her, like you saw at your age, but, you know, maybe she's still going by Zoe Sager. You weren't going by Michael Richard Blaze at that time. You were going by Chucky.
Yeah, man. Jack Evans gave me that name, dude, and it just stuck for so long. He walked by me one day at BJ's, and he was just like, oh, I know what you are. You're a little murderous doll. You look like Chucky. You look like Chucky. And it did not go away for seven damn years. Jack Evans got me stuck with Chucky Blaze. Took 7 years.
And it still ain't completely gone. But, I mean, that's neither here nor there. We've talked about it a lot. Well, we talk about BJ's gym. We talk about TJ. For anybody who hasn't listened to you and I talk about it in the past, because, like, man, you were literally the first interview I ever did. How did you first get into professional wrestling before meeting TJ, before any of that stuff sort of started?
You mean, like, how I first got into professional wrestling as a fan or in general?
Give me both. There's a loose time limit on this.
So we're going on, I first got into professional wrestling as a fan. Literally my first memory of life is I'm sitting at home, 3 years old probably, bored out of my mind. My dad's sleeping. My mom went out to bingo. I'm just sitting beside my dad and I'm flipping through channels and there's Bret Hart. And don't ask me why, but for whatever reason, as soon as I saw Bret Hart, I was hooked. And literally, like, what I've been told, at least by my parents, is the next day I said I was going to be a professional wrestler when I grow up, and I just never, ever grew out of it.
Yeah.
How I got into training and everything, funny enough, it was a big part of the build-up to a certain match I had at Night of Champions last year. I met Teddy Hart at a Stampede Wrestling show, which was my first independent wrestling show in 2003. He gave me the big old sales pitch on BJ's gym and Teddy Hart's kids pro wrestling camp. And 3 days later, after begging my grandparents to lend me $1,000 to pay the startup fee, which they did, I don't even think I had to beg for it because my grandparents were that awesome and they believed in me. I was training.
Yeah.
And then, like, at first, for me at least, it wasn't like, it wasn't easy sailing. There was a solid, like, 3 months where we didn't actually have a trainer. I was like just going into the ring and like throwing myself around because at least I had a ring.
Yeah.
Then Ravenous Randy took over.
Okay.
And for about like 3 or so months, he taught like DVD and this guy Alex Plexus, who you've probably heard of. He taught us like the basics, like lockups, bumps, stuff like that. And then it was TJ who saw us like just giving her like going hard, beating the shit out of ourselves like every time we went there. And TJ's like, what actually happened was he shows up one day after a tour of Japan and he just looks at us all. And I am a fat kid at the time. I am unathletic. Even though I'm wrestling and I'm bumping around, I am unathletic as all hell. DVD is an Adonis back then. He was like a little 15-year-old Adonis. Plexus is like this little skinny kid, but he was like, basically, you wouldn't expect this out of us, but TJ looks at us, he says, do 50 squats. Cool, we do 50 squats.
Yeah.
Can barely walk the next day. We show up again, he says, do 75. Cool, we do 75. We show up the next day, do 80. And me and Brandon both looked at him and said, listen, can we just do the 100 squats like you do with Tokyo Joe? And he says, okay, do 100 squats. We do 100 squats. And that day he said, okay, I'm going for another 2-week tour of Japan, but when I come back, I'll train you guys. Yeah. And then the next 2 years was like the greatest wrestling education I could ever ask for.
Well, yeah, man. And like for yourself, how cool is it that, you know, at least in my experience, the people I've talked to, like yourself, BVD, Plexus, like you guys really are the only guys that TJ did take under his wing. Like how much pride do you guys take in that and that you really are the only... at least individuals I've heard of it. If I'm incorrect in that, correct me here. But that he did really take under his wing.
I know TJ's like done stuff for a bunch of other guys too. Like okay. TJ's a very like giving, like pay it forward guy. Like he, I know he helped train Jack Evans. Like I believe he helped train Ravenous Randy and even like Dynamite Dan, like guys like that. Okay. But you are right. Like I think. Me and DV are really like the two main guys he like truly took under his wing, and that's like I can't truly explain to you how like special that makes me feel, which might maybe sounds like weird and like overly sentimental, especially for like a 30-year-old man to be saying that now, but like realistically, like a dude like that taking you under your wing and saying like I believe in you, I believe you're gonna make it one day, I'm gonna do everything I can to help you is it's like invaluable.
Yeah, it's monumental, man. And, like, obviously not only he's seen something in you, not 100% there yet, but, like, working for WWE, working for Evolve, working for NXT, like, you've had the opportunity. You know, you even look at the local level and wrestling a Teddy Hart. Like, have you had a chance in – and Mike, you're putting your hand up. Sorry, I'm getting a stat check.
We just got some comments from the chat room. I don't want to get past them. All right, first of all, you mentioned four very important people there, and three of them are in the chat room listening right now, so they are looking for advice as well. Zoe, Taryn, and Mr. Pride are there as well. But the question here from Claire, it's easy for successful people to talk about their accomplishments, but part of taking risks is accepting and growing with failure. MRB, what failure in your path proved pivotal?
Ooh.
Try saying that many times three times fast, Mike.
No.
Okay.
I like that. Claire, thanks for doing my job for me.
Okay. I'll give you, like, I haven't told anybody about this publicly. Some people know, like, behind the scenes and whatever. Mm-hmm. Most people know about, like, the WWE Canada trial.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I went into that thing and I really, like, truly deep down thought, like, this is, like, it, finally.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had, like, a lot of years of, like, maybe it's coming, whatever, whatever. Just, like, little ups and downs, like, wrestling, like, anybody you've talked to, you know, like, wrestling has its ups and downs. Right before the Force stuff kicked off, I got the Not Right Now email from them. From that tryout. And that was honestly like probably the most pivotal thing that's actually happened to me already. Because I had like, I honestly had an option at that moment when I got that. It was either like, I'm going to like keep pushing forward And I'm going to say, like, nope. I don't care if you said not right now. Because granted, it wasn't a complete no, thank God. But I don't care if you said not right now. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to keep moving forward, keep getting better. And I'm going to, like, throw it in your face. I'm not taking no for an answer. It was either that, or I could have gone the path a lot of other guys do and kind of just given up.
Yeah, so
honestly,
like,
I honestly sat like for like an hour and I was like, I don't know, like, I've given so much, I feel like, but I don't know if I have any more to give. But then I was like, no, that's bullshit. Like, wrestling, life, none of that owes you anything. You know what I mean? So, like, basically, that was the moment I was like, I'm going to train people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get in the ring every single day. I'm going to become better than I already was. And I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah. Well, now,
with with that being said, a man you're very familiar with is in watching this as well, Frank Cullen. And,
Frank. Frank's the man.
And
he showed me a bunch of stuff, too.
His comment here is, you're more than good enough for NXT, and I'm comparing you to the best of them. And I think a lot of us will agree.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you, Frank.
Wouldn't disagree at all. Now, it's a bit of a weird way.
Hold on. I want to, like, confirm in that chat. Frank, are you back in Calgary and helping with that school there when all this is done?
Find out later on Conversations with Michael Richard Blaze. I'll let you know when he replies. But I guess, Mike, you'll let him know. But it's a weird way to put it, man. But, like, was it any sort of comfort or a little bit of a, okay, this is fine, that there wasn't anybody that came out of that camp that got signed? Or was that more of a, you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. It's about me.
Was that a thumbs up on the Frank thing?
Yes, Mike's a thumbs up.
Anybody that's in Calgary, you should, when this is all done, you should go, like, learn from Frank. He's the man. Like, he will show you, like, some of the best stuff there is.
Is that at that Workhorse Performance Center that they've
got? Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I've heard nothing but good things about it, unfortunately. Like, haven't chatted with anyone down there yet, but... Hey, Frank, let's talk. but back to it. Like, was it a bit of a comforting fact that you weren't the only one in your boat?
No, to be honest. Because, like, I've never been that type where I get jealous if people make it before me or get, like, happy if people don't make it. I honestly, like... I would be just as happy if I found out tomorrow that, like, Zoe or Pride or Michael Allen, Richard Clark, or any of these people that I look at and think are, like, great, if they got signed and I didn't. I would be just as happy if I heard that they did. So, like, the fact that nobody did kind of was just like, ah, that sucks, like, as a whole. But, like, I understand the way it works. Like, this is wrestling. And, yeah. Like, as long as you don't get an outright no, like, literally all they're saying is not right now. It's up to you if you're going to work your ass off and come back for it.
Yeah, 100%. Well, and you do still have some unfinished business in Alberta coming up this weekend, the Northern Alberta Invitational. I know that it's coming up this weekend, so you don't want to give too many spoilers as far as a pre-tape tournament goes, but just what was the experience like for you?
It was cool because... Yeah. Okay. I'll let, like, something else out on here.
Cool. Exclusives.
And this will actually, like, go back to the whole pivotal thing, because this is going to be, like, my biggest thing that's going to happen to me that's coming up soon. I probably, if I'm being honest with you, maybe wouldn't have bothered taking part in that Northern Alberta thing if the PWA anniversary show would have happened.
Okay. And just one or the other?
No, because how everything worked out was the PWA anniversary show got canceled. Mm-hmm. Then we did this Northern Alberta thing before any of the, like, restrictions got extra crazy. Like, before everything really blew up, we filmed this so we could, like, show something to the fans, right? Just so there was something. But I don't know if I would have had the itch as badly to make sure I did one more thing for a while if I would have gone in to do the PWA anniversary show. And now what I'm getting at with that is at some point in the next little bit here, I'm getting surgery for a torn pectoral muscle, and I'm going to be out for up to 10 months. So that's going to be a pretty pivotal point in my career, and that's a huge reason why it was so important to me to actually take part in that tournament and get the chance to just kind of like weirdly go away for a while on my own terms, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of it being like, oh, I had a match that I didn't think was going to be the last thing I do, and then all of a sudden the entire world shut down.
Yeah.
And I don't get a choice to like see how I feel or like do whatever I want to do before I do this. And like, it's just like an awesome thing too. Like, I got to roll around a little bit one more time while the world's like ending with like Zoe and Karen and people like that. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good experience, and I think you guys will enjoy it too.
Yeah. Oh, I don't disagree. Mike, you've got to interject.
All I can say is the chat section, the emojis are blowing up right now over this. The only comment that I'm getting right now is, who wears short shorts, from Doyle Benson, your favorite friend out of Saskatchewan. But
Blaze wears short shorts. I would stand up and shake my ass right now, but I might knock over my camera.
Kyle Shaw adds in here, have you thought about it? I'll rephrase the question a little bit here. Any plans to do anything while you're out for those 10 months? Like be a ringside manager, a GM, anything?
You'll have to keep your eye on the shows whenever they're back and see.
Well, I'll tell you point blank right now, and this is just coming from myself, who I'll take my time off from my trip in Hawaii here. Hi, guys. Just want to let you know, anytime you... want to hop in on commentary with me, I'm more than willing to have you on any show I'm on.
I might take you up on that.
Now I'll go back to my beach chair, and please continue, Spencer.
No, but just to continue off of that, like, if there is one or the other, is there one that you would particularly prefer? Because I've never really seen you in any of those roles.
I'd rather be a manager, honestly. Because I think, like, one thing that I think I'm like actually pretty good at. There's a couple guys that are better than me, I'll admit it, at this one aspect. But one thing that I think I'm pretty good at, but I'm also underrated with, because I do think my like in-ring work tends to outshine it, is talking. So okay. I think like, give me the opportunity to be a mouthpiece for somebody for a little while. Could be pretty fun, could be pretty sweet. Might change perception a bit and make people think I'm like this master promo, the next Dusty Rhodes or something. And that's obviously the goal. Hard I'm already pass. Like the next Bret Hart, the next greatest wrestler of all time. I may as well be the next greatest talker of all time too, right?
Yep, fair enough, man. Now, it's a bit of a different question. You may give me a few similar answers, but if you're out for 10 months, who steps into the void that the absence of Michael Richard Blaze is going to leave?
Ooh, well, you've always got BVD there.
Yep.
Like, if I'm 1A, BVD's always 1B. But, like, honestly, I'll go back to, like, my little group of four that I was talking about.
Yeah.
And since, like, you obviously can't, like, you could, but, like, because intergender is not the hugest thing, you can't really, like, put any of the girls into my place.
Mm-hmm.
So the next guy that, like, I'd say would, like, honestly take over would be, like, Jack Pride. Like, if I was going to choose, like, one guy that I could be, like, okay, you can, like, you can go enough that, like, every show you're going to be able to pull off, like, at least, like, 98% of the same performance I would, it would probably be him.
Love to hear it, man.
I'm going to throw a weird one at you, though.
Okay.
If you don't let me choose any of those four, though, Reed Matthews. I think he's incredibly underrated.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, I think you put it perfectly, man. Like, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that we've got this many great wrestlers that you can throw this many names in the hat. Like, you bring up earlier with Michael Allen, Richard Clark, BVD. Like, it's pretty insane. Now, you've been around the scene for a number of years, to say the least. Is there anybody that's sort of a longer tenured wrestler or someone you'd consider a veteran of the scene that you haven't wrestled yet?
That I haven't wrestled.
Like, just even throwing it, like, say, Metal and Jess. Have you wrestled them? Have you wrestled, like, there were some MPW guys? Like, I don't know. I don't know where you've been, man. You're the Johnny Cash of Alberta. You've been everywhere.
That's the thing, is, like, dude, like, I've wrestled Metal. Like, I've wrestled Jess just in, like, Red Deer shows and stuff that, like, most people don't remember and maybe never saw.
Yeah.
Like, I've wrestled so many of these guys. Honestly, like, if you're asking veteran, like, longtime veteran, maybe the one guy I haven't wrestled yet is, like, Massive Damage.
Okay.
As weird as that sounds, and, like...
Makes sense, though.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, maybe one day wrestle him and see what we do. Michael. I haven't wrestled Cody either. I haven't wrestled old Zach Mercury.
Okay, well, we've got one Alberta Indie Dream match left on the table, then.
Let's not. We don't want to burn the internet down. MRB, I got a question for you here. Going back to somebody you talked to earlier, can you talk about the effect of Reed Matthews in that clandestine society show, like that clusterfuck? We can actually use that word here.
Oh, tremendous. Dude, like, Reed in that match was a different level. Like, he, like, stepped up big time and showed, like, a lot of fire and charisma that he hadn't really shown, I think, up until then, to be honest with you. He was showing glimpses of it, but that show, like, you could really tell was the... So, my moment in wrestling where I feel like I hit this point where I was like, okay, I'm good, like, I can do this, and I felt comfortable, like, completely comfortable doing it, was around when I, like, came back from the first Dr. Tom camp in 2013.
Okay.
And I was, like, just firing on, like, a different level, and I was thinking of wrestling differently. And I had one match with BVD when I came back where it just felt easy and good. That's what, like, Reed Matthews and that clusterfuck looked like to me. It was, like, that was the moment where something clicked inside of him where it was all, like, okay, this is who Reed Matthews is. Like, I'm a professional wrestler. I'm the man. And then, like, what people don't know, a little bit, like, break the fourth wall behind the scenes, is I, as the guy that was, like, kind of helping run that whole thing, tasked Reed with the task of, like, hey, you have to hold this together so it doesn't actually turn into a clusterfuck. If things start going haywire, I'm trusting you to fix it and make it so it's not absolute dog shit. And he stepped up in spades. Like, he showed in that moment that, like, not only is he good, but he can also be a leader, which is, like, very important. And I think, like, there's a lot of people that have the potential to be great. There's not a lot of people that have the potential to be great leaders, though. But he's one of those guys that could be.
It's a really great way to put it, man. Now, I know we're getting closer to wrapping her up here, and I know we got a couple fan questions. Mike, I'm going to save you the job here. Eric Graves, good friend of ours, he says, MRB, I know you had a few great matches with Gabriel. What would you say is something about his in-ring work that impresses you?
Gabriel? Honestly, probably that he, like, just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's something that, like, me and BVD got from TJ, where no matter, like, if we get hurt or whatever in a match, or if we, like, get a little tired, maybe for some reason we're out of shape, or maybe we've, like, had a really long weekend or something and we're, like, dying in the match, but we just won't stop. That's something, like, Gabriel has too, to be honest with you. He, like, I've been in matches with him where he's gotten, like, roughed up and been, like, hurt, or, like, just honestly, like, gotten tired or whatever, but he doesn't stop, and his, like, actual wrestling doesn't regress when he gets like that either. Like, he's consistent and he's good no matter what. Like, he's a workhorse.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, man. Now, one that I had for you specifically, and it's kind of interesting you mentioned that you've got a couple of months off now that I'm assuming, you know, you're one of the busiest guys in pro wrestling. You're always planning new shit. You mentioned the Clandestine Society. Will there ever be another one? And what would you change about the first one to make Clandestine 2 bigger and badder?
Well, there's no guarantees in wrestling. There's no guarantees of a yes or a no.
Never say that. I
always have it in the back of my mind that I'd love to have another one of those. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, maybe the only thing I would change about that first one is having a bigger venue. Honestly, because, like, the worst part of that entire thing, and the only part that, like, really, like, I'm sure there's a lot of little things I could think of if I really, really sat here and put my mind to it, but, like, the one thing that springs to mind, and, like, the biggest thing that was not the greatest was the fact that we couldn't invite every single fan possible, and that we couldn't invite, like, everybody that we wanted to, because if it were up to me, we would have, like, we would have had a venue where we could have threw 3,000 people in there, and we would have had the biggest damn party like Edmonton's ever seen.
Yeah,
that just happened to have some really awesome wrestling at it too.
Realistically, we could have filled the Shaw Conference Center without even flinching.
Yeah, that's for Clandestine too. Now, a couple quick comments, then we'll wrap her up here sooner rather than later. Eric says thank you for answering the question. Really appreciates it. We have Chad, I don't know how to pronounce your last name, and I'm not going to make an idiot of myself. Sorry.
Where is he?
K-U-E-C-H-L-E, Kuchel, I believe, but I could be completely fucking that up. He says, I could watch you versus Cody all day long. Now, that's another one that I had for you, whether it's Cody, whether you and I have talked about literally having Samoa Joe's second last match on the Independence. How cool is it for you, or is there any particular match, whether it's one of those guys or another brought in guy, that means a little bit extra to you?
Okay. This is going to be like double answer. Samoa Joe means a ton to me, and it's a weird answer because I don't think it was like, I think it was a good match, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it was like my best match I've ever had. Mm-hmm. But the moment I'm standing in the ring, Joe's music hits, and Joe walks through the curtain, that was the moment where I went from being nervous to just standing there and be like, no, I'm a pro wrestler. I'm on your level. We are just professional wrestlers, and we're going to put on a hell of a show. Like, we are peers. I'm not some, like, low-level guy working the name. We're peers. And we're putting on the best show possible for these fans. So, like, realistically, that was the moment where I was like, oh, I can truly do this for a living. Like, I could be on WWE TV, and I have no doubt in my mind about that. Yeah. So that was, like, obviously huge for me. And then the other one is, like, me and Cody 30-minute draw.
Yeah.
Because, like, weird again, break the fourth wall a little bit, but, like, it's a cool story. Like, what a lot of people don't know is, like, he got to the show late that night just because that's the way the flight worked out, and it was, like, delayed because it was winter. And, like, I put together, like, a good portion of that match with him, and then, like, we ended up moving a lot faster than we thought. So the last 5 minutes of it is 100% completely on the fly. We are not talking to each other. We're just grabbing each other, and we're going, and we're feeling each other, and that's, like, the beauty of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Completely. Yeah, it's, like,
how much work do you usually do when you're preparing for a match, whether it's with someone like that or someone new? I know there's going to be a little difference, but heading into just, say, Saturday night working for the PWA, how much are you doing preparing for a match, talking to your opponent, anything like that? Or is it just a see you in the ring sort of situation?
Depends on the situation, if I'm being honest with you. But also, like, the thing is, like, I am very much a believer in you wrestle every show like it's your last.
Yeah.
And you're only as good as your last match. So I don't care if there's two people in the crowd or if there's 20,000 people in the crowd. I don't care if I'm wrestling a brand new, like, first match guy on a random out-of-town show in Gibbons, Alberta or something, mm-hmm. or if I'm wrestling Hideo Itami on 205 Live. I'm going to go in there and put, like, 110% into it no matter what. And between the shows, I'm doing the exact same work
yeah.
in the gym, with cardio, everything, as I would for, like, the exact same work no matter what the show is. Like, I'm doing the exact same thing to prepare and get ready for every single match, every single show. It's like that whole great thing, Dennis Stamp and Beyond the Mat. Jumping on that trampoline, you never know when your next booking is. You never know when you're going to get the call. So, like, you just always have to be ready. If you're always ready, you're never not ready.
I love it, man. And I can't think of a more perfect way to close her out. Mike, I know you've got a couple of final thoughts on your end. And then, MRB, as always, I'll let you plug where people can keep track of God's gift to wrestling, whether it's while wrestling's going on or this downtime that we've all got. Mike?
One last question before we wrap it up here, and this is sort of a plug that I promised from a Big Bad Boris that I know here as well.
Oh, God.
It sort of ties into something you said, plus something that's happening tomorrow. Your last match that you had in the PWA Relevation, that is coming up tomorrow for free on the PWA YouTube channel at 7 o'clock. You were in there with two people that you said at the beginning of the podcast were two premier people looking to get better all the time in Gigi Ray and Zoe Sager. You want to talk about working with those two as well as Body Break in that match?
Oh, dude, like, if I literally, okay, so like I said, I really wanted to do that North American tournament or Northern Alberta tournament, sorry.
Yeah.
It's just like a kind of like, I get to do this on my own terms before I can for a while. But if I wasn't able to do that and I was going to have to say that was the last thing I did for a while, I couldn't ask for a better way to like go out than like wrestling those guys. Literally, like, the only downside to it was that BVD ended up sick that night and couldn't do it. Because if BVD would have been in there with all of us, it would have been me with like a bunch of the best wrestlers around here. BVD would have been my literally like wrestling brother. And then my two, like, I know Zoe was trained by Lance, but like the two people that like I consider like my kind of students that like I care about and want to like progress as much as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would have been like the perfect way to go out if I had no other opportunity to like do something else on my own terms. But like being in there with them was awesome and they held their own. Like you cannot, it's hard to like, you're going to have to watch it. You'll see. It's good. And like, they're very good.
Hell yeah, man. Now, I have to thank you again for joining me. It's always a blast shooting the shit with you. I've said it since we first did our interview. I was literally looking, man. It was March 2018 that you and I first got organized on this shit. And now, in April 2020, it's good to still be able to do it, man. I appreciate it as always. As always as well, I want to let you plug where people can keep track of you, whether it's wrestling, whether it's your social media, whether it's whatever it may be, my friend.
Literally, you can look me up everywhere with God's Gift MRB, GodsGiftMRB, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I am all over with that handle. Honestly, like, just check all of that stuff and you'll know what I'm doing. When it comes to like wrestling in general, keep checking out the PWA because that's my home promotion. And even when I get this bad boy done, I'm sure I'll be involved in some way as soon as life is back to normal. But other than that, just check out that social media. I'm very active on there.
You betcha. Awesome, man. Always appreciate it. Thank you all for tuning into our another live edition of Conversations with Love, whatever we want to call this. Mike, we'll work on the nomenclature in the next couple of weeks. I know we're going to have another one next week. That guest will be announced on Monday. However, stay tuned to the WCSN for all your previews, reviews, breaking news, and interviews from the Canadian professional wrestling scene. Mike, I know that there's a lot of stuff to plug. You're better than me at it. So I'll let you close out the show, my friend. Thanks again.
Well, just to add things in here, we also have a special Newfoundland month on Monday Night Shaw, I do believe. A list of guests is available on the WCSN. And our next actual broadcast on YouTube and Facebook Live is going to be another preview for the finale of the Northern Alberta Invitational. Just like we had on last Wednesday, join Anthony from WrestleSoad, as well as Paul from Wrestling Rodeo, Spencer, and myself, as we break down the first four matches, the quarterfinals, and set up the semifinals, as well as talk about one of the most anticipated matches of the card, the special women's match between Zoe Sager and Taryn from Accounting. So, and other than that, check out the WCSN for all your details. So, Spence, you want to do the closing remark?
Life's a garden, dig it. I didn't really expect to say anything, so you sort of put me on the spot there, Mike. Thank you once again for tuning in. I've been your host, Spencer Love. We will talk to you next week.